Blog Talk Radio.
This is a calling in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wasn't this the reveal to us in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I?
Church and state has come together to let your glory shine.
Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie I the First. Bring me my sons and daughters from afar, everyone that is called by my name, Rastafari. In the form of 500 families, to occupy 500 acres of land, to establish a model city to the world in the land of Ethiopia. The Ethiopian World Federation was established in the United States of America by His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I. This is not a calling for the United States, it's a calling for all the children of the diaspora.
It's a call.
Okay, here we are once again. It is Sunday night, and it is the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. I know you're used to the luxurious voice of Dr. James W. Winborn, but you have to deal with me, Ron Robinson, and you have the luxurious and the host with the most, Mrs. Sadie Gomez, And you know, we're gonna bring her on the proper way that we do here, a little technology here, and then we're gonna begin our programming here as well. Here we go. Okay. I just have to get it together, people. I just came out of a meeting, and that's where Dr. Greenborn is now with the International Bees of the World Federation of Corporate Common Incorporated Conformance and Communication for President Abiy Mohamed of Ethiopia, and try to help to persist to resolve that issue as well. So here we go. This is Sadie.
Thank you so very much, Dr. Ron Robinson, for trying so hard to fill those really big shoes of Dr. James Winborn. But you're doing a good job, and I know you're trying really hard. So that's good. This is Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated Local 26, coming to you live on the live this wonderful Sunday evening. And it's a special Sunday evening that we would like to dedicate to the young people this evening. And as I would ask, how many of us have young friends? And I would say all of us have young friends, or all of our friends are young people. So this special night, we invite the young people on board, and I would like to welcome a special young lady, Dushira, who's there in my heart. She's on board tonight. She is a young woman, Dushira. She would be able to identify herself and talk a little later on when I open up the mic. And this conversation for Sunday evening, the young people are finding it a little difficult to communicate with the older people. Actually, they are wondering, who can they go to when they want information or to talk or to say something? But I'll put them on board, and they would be able to say what they want at this time. So I'm going to open the mic of 618-960. Your mic is open as you share with our conversation this evening.
Peace and blessings to Sadie Gomez and everyone who is tuning in tonight, and peace and blessings to my ancestors. Thank you for the protection and the guidance. But the topic is about young people. I really feel that young people are misguided, very misguided. We don't have that support system that we need from our elders in order to know how to move, in order to know how to think, you know, in order to know how to handle problems when they're our way. I'm just speaking from experience, you know. I have friends who come to me. I guess I'm kind of that elder to them. They come to me and they want advice and how to help them navigate this world. And I can only say so much, you know. I still have a lot to experience. And, you know, as a mom and as a sister, as a friend. But I really feel like we are not guided as we should be. We have a lot of distractions out there, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information, a lot of situations that are happening. So, you know, we don't really know what to believe. But I really feel like we need more guidance and advice from our elders. If you ever see a young person struggling, you know, mentally for us. We internalize things mentally mostly. So, you know, if you ever see a young person, please guide them in the right direction. Doesn't matter what it is, what you say. We need that guidance.
Wonderfully said, Shira. And I know as a young woman, we share many times whereby you would ask me several questions, and I hope in my capacity, I was there to guide you in the right direction. I am thankful for you sharing on this program tonight. I will bring you on a little later on as I open up the mics. of the other young people as well. I would open up the mic of caller 914-979. Your mic is open. You may share with us, caller.
Yes, indeed, my sister. How are you today?
I'm good. Bless you, young man, as you're coming over Sunday program. You've heard the young ladies' discussion, and I would like you to give your part for this evening conversation.
Right. Well, and just hearing and feeling that this conversation has been evolved. I just had something I did want to share with this, and that is that when you're having the conflicts that are going on, there is a way in which we can definitely solve those problems, But we had a very serious problem here in the United States that was going on. Unfortunately, it was with, our youth that were actually having gang wars in, the New York State area. And being that that was happening, a lot of kids were being killed, So we put together a group or organization called Parents Against Teen Violence. And basically in doing that, what ended up happening was that, we were able to convince, the principals and the superintendent of schools to allow us to come into the schools to talk to the kids about how, killing each other is not a game that you do on the internet, but this is something where you're not just killing an individual, but you're also destroying a family, that had that son or daughter that was just killed, and you're also helping to destroy your community as well. So we wanted to get that word out to them so that they could start to get a clear understanding of that. And once we did start to speak with them about that, we got about 60% of them to come out of the gangs, and I was really glad to see that. But then on the other side of it, how we actually ended the gang wars was spiritually. We were able to actually go into prayer and meditation and focus on the power and the divine love and grace and mercy of God to end up ending the gang wars. And it did happen. But the thing about it was not a thing that, I thought of myself, because to be honest with you, it was something that I would have never really, come to mind that, something like that could really happen, because I'm used to deal with things from a practical viewpoint as well, taking step by step to try to get things done, in the normal way of dealing with things. But what ended up happening was that Jesus came to us in a meditation, because we had 5 meditation programs at 5 different schools. And in that happening, Jesus had a really dynamic and wonderful, experience with one of our students. And the student came back to me and she told me that, hey, Mr. Bridges, guess what? I said, what? She said, I can't even believe what just happened. I said, what are you talking about? She said, Jesus came to me in my meditation. I said, really? Jesus came to me in meditation? She said, yes. I said, wow, that's interesting. So is that just what you wanted to tell me? She said, no. The thing about it, he was in a ball of light, and the light was shining really bright. And what ended up happening, he walked out of the light. I said, yeah. So what happened after that? When I saw him, I couldn't believe it. He was a black man. I said, what? I said, yeah. Well, that's what it says in the Bible, that Jesus was black. I said, yeah, but I've been in a number of churches and I've never seen Jesus as being black. Every time I see Jesus, he's white. I said, yeah, but the bottom line is it does specify in the Bible that Jesus really is a black man. So what you saw was the truth. So was that basically it? Did you just saw Jesus as being black? He said, no, he had something very powerful and wonderful to share. I said, really? I said, well, what did he have to share? He said, well, you and your meditation groups, he said, if you do a meditation and prayer on each one of them, and you see the divine love of God and the divine love of Christ in the hearts and minds of these gangbangers that want to kill each other, he said that what Jesus said, what he would do is strip away and cleanse all of that hatred and anger and desire to kill one another away. I said, wow, really? I almost fell out my chair when she told me that part. I said, well, definitely, you're going to give that a try. I said, that sounds really great. And she said, yeah, I thought this was wonderful. So I said, Mr. Bridges, we need to see what we can do about that. I said, you ain't got to worry about that. We are definitely going to try that. And what ended up happening for the next 2 weeks, we went to the 5 different groups that I had with the meditation, and we visualized and saw the divine love of God and Christ going into the hearts and minds of these youth that were caught up into these gang wars, but they were convinced that it would be a good thing to kill each other so that your gang could be the one that would be the biggest and baddest gang in Harlem or in Yonkers or in Mount Vernon or the Bronx or anything crazy like that. But the bottom line is that, you know, like I said, not only are you just killing the individual, but you're destroying families and communities. Anyway, what ended up happening in us visualizing that and seeing the divine love of God and Christ in the hearts and minds of these youth that were caught up into that madness, in 2 weeks' time, the gang wars were over. There was no more murdering going on. And I was very, very thankful that Jesus shared that spiritual formula with us because it definitely worked. And the beautiful thing about it is, I know sometimes people say, yeah, yeah, right. Jesus gave you, right. You're probably lying. But the bottom line is that after that occurred, that 2 weeks and the gang wars were over, we got a number of different awards from congressmen, senators, you know, county legislators, you know, mayors, you know, there's a number of different people that thanked us for putting that energy into it and actually bringing an end to the gang wars. So what I wanted to say is that I understand the difficulties of what's happening in Africa right now, the Ethiopian, you know, situation that you guys are seeing, and how right now we just need to find different ways that we could come about with an answer that could end all of that violence. But one of the things that really needs to be done, and this is something from another perspective, but when you deal with this from a spiritual perspective and utilize a formula that God or Christ comes to you and gives to you, and you already got good results from it, you can utilize that formula again, and it can definitely end the gang wars, or it can end the real wars that are going on where adults are killing each other. And all I wanted to say is that this is something that we should really take into consideration, because if we use the same spiritual formula, you know, in dealing with this, with the conflicts and the murdering that's going on, you know, at the present time with this.
Thank you. Hello.
Yes, you may call the 347-404. Your mic is open. Call the 347-404. Your mic is open, as you may share in conversation with us this evening.
Yeah, hi. I came on, maybe a good 10 minutes ago. I'm not sure what the topic is or what, but I couldn't hear the gentleman just now, but young lady before, I heard some of what the young lady was saying before, about teaching the young ones and stuff like that.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, that's a plus. What's the topic, by the way?
That's the topic of this evening. The young people are saying that they're looking forward to someone within the elder structure, within a few years older perhaps, to be a friend to them, a mentor, to teach them, to guide them. There are some things they don't quite understand, but when they look out there, they don't seem to find anyone. There's no one really there for them, and that's how they're feeling. So they're expressing themselves this evening. So you can weigh in on our conversation as to how you may feel. I don't know if you're young in heart, young in spirit, but we are all young at some point, and we would like to know how you feel about this.
It starts from parenting. That's really, really starts from. I really think the parents should be like their number one mentor, really. But it's sad of how we are predominant and things are going, and especially the black and brown community. Then there is a significant percentage of fathers, dads are not around for various reasons and all kinds of reasons, which makes it even worse. There's so many things. It's just, where do we start? That's the question. I could sit here like I have all the answers. No, I don't. I just think that it just, like, from, that's where it starts, if we need to make a difference. One of the segments I was on, it's a good, what, over a good week ago, I believe, and one of the talks we had was that even this, the coronavirus and all this kind of stuff is wiping out our elders, and once the elders are out, who's going to teach us what we need to be taught, the right things, you know what I mean? The real gems, the real deal.
Yeah.
And I think that's a major thing. Yeah.
Well, they're crying out right now, and this is something that we must address in this here time. Information that is near and dear to us, some truth that has not been told, we would like our elders to pass that on even to us, that we would have something to pass on to our next generation, those in the 20-somethings who are having babies right now. They will need some sort of substance to give to their children, some truth that we know were hidden from us and tainted a few years ago. But we have, for those who have been awoken and are staying woke, we know there's a lot of work to be done where our communities, we can start there.
A lot of work. I'll put it to you this way. One of my thing is real estate, right? That's one. And there's this doctor. She's she does therapy in Rosedale, Queens, Rosedale. And she got a pre-kid in her house, her resident. That's doing well, and she has a lot of good reviews and everything. Her name is Dolly, and a different name, but we call it Dr. Dolly for short. She's from Nigeria. The point is, I was trying to get her a space, this building, to lease, and it went like 3 months of absolute. It's like they're torturing us. It's like, I don't know. Wind up never getting it, but, you know, it's owned by the Jewish community, and, like, they're giving us a hard time. And they own so many of our property, and it's...
I don't know if
Huh?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, if I got her that space where it's like a good 6 classrooms, it would have been like a good 6 classrooms, and we would have, you know, be teaching these young kids from day one the sense of the what they really need to know, like, you know. And that's how we'll pass on the right information. And in that vicinity, if there's a certain size of a pre-K, then there would be more law enforcement, okay, by default. A lot of the cracks, a lot of the guns in that region would have gone down tremendously and never got that building. So we're still on the hunt. We're trying to get a good size, and that's a start. You know, that's where it starts from. You know what I mean?
Most definitely, that's a start. We start, you know, a child at a time, a village at a time, but we know the agenda is to teach and to teach the right thing. Paul, I'm really happy with what you had to say this evening. I would like to open the mic up some other callers, as I see within the queue, who have been waiting, and I'll get right back onto your caller for some part of the evening. Caller 332-799, your mic is open. Would you like to win our conversation for this Sunday evening? Caller 332-799. Your mic is open. Okay, sister or brother, if you would just like to listen, tonight is quite all right. I would open the mic again for caller 618-960. Your mic is open. Would you like to say something that from what the brother has said this evening?
I just want to say that when it comes to young people and things that we need, I just want to say that I think what the young man mentioned about meditation and organization, I would like to know more about that. How can I help other people like as far as organizations and what to attend? I think having more of a circle where you can meditate and do more spiritual practices can definitely help us. But for me, I feel we need more guidance from our elders.
To answer your question about meditation, I believe the young man is still on the line. I would open his mic so that he would be able to answer such a question at this time, in forming that type of group where we can meditate and teach the young people. So call the 914-979. Your mic is open. I direct this question to you.
Okay. And yes, indeed, my sister. Utilizing the spiritual power of meditation and prayer and tapping into our God-given power that we've been given, that's another thing that a lot of us don't even know about. But the bottom line is that, you know, when we come together in spiritual unity to work on solving different problems that we have, that can really have a huge impact on our community. And like I said, we were able to save, you know, a large number of youth lives, because every week you were hearing about, you know, two or three kids getting killed and all this kind of crazy stuff in the New York area, not just in Yonkers or Mount Vernon or in Harlem, but I'm talking about all those different areas. You know, you found, you know, different kids that were getting killed, which was really sad to see. But at the same time, if you utilize your spiritual ability, and that's something that we could go about dealing with, you know, and we can, like you said, teach each other how to tap into utilizing our spiritual ability to end the problems that we have with one another. And then the divine love of God can actually be the dominant energy in our communities. And when that's there, then you'll see a lot more harmony. You'll see a lot more people not reaching out to hurt and kill each other, but reaching out to help one another. And that's where we need to be, you know. And the other thing that's very important that we need to have, and we're looking into doing this here in the United States right now in our different communities, is putting up what they call community centers. When you have community centers and you can have those centers that will be focusing on helping the youth and even adults learn how to truly identify themselves as people that really do care and want to help one another, you know, that's one very important thing. Because as long as there's a lot of disharmony, where there's a lot of self-hatred that we have for one another, and see, a lot of this self-hatred came about through us being brainwashed into not wanting to trust each other, not wanting to work with one another, you know, wanting to really hate each other. All that mess needs to be totally erased from our minds. And then we can start to, and meditation really does help with that, and also the prayer, so that we can get rid of all of that madness. And once all of that is erased from us, then we can start to embrace each other from a positive perspective, where we can really change our community, change our world from all of this negativity that we see ourselves courting right now. So, again, the two things that I think are very powerful that we could utilize is the power of prayer, meditation, and also having community centers in different areas where our people live so that our youth and even our adults could go there to utilize the information that we shared with them. Yes, somebody was saying something?
Okay. I think there's someone in the background. But if you're finished, caller, you know, we thank you so much. I'll bring you back on at a later time. I would like to open the mic of another caller who's been in the queue, caller 347-880. Your mic is open. You may join us in conversation for this evening. We had the young people are asking, who can they go to? What can they learn from us? What do we have to offer? And, of course, what are some of the solutions to their problems that we may be able to help with? So call us 347-880. Your mic is open.
Yes. Greetings and blessings in the name of the Emperor Haile Selassie I and the Ethiopian World Federation, Local 26. Well, this is what I'm speaking from for a while about training up the youth and them where we have some place for them to go. And I'm a practicer of what I'm preaching. Where that I was a young man in New York and where that young people was not doing nothing, I went out and get jobs and teach young people a trade. Now, hundreds of those young men turn into tradesmen right now in New York area and working as carpenters, sheetrockers, tapers, and other construction work. Now, saying that you want to do something and you don't have no practice in doing it, we that teaching the levels of construction that can bring up the minds of people, not just the physical labor alone, but the maintenance of the construction and the productivity of the construction. And the other things. So what we are saying, this is one area that making money that we are not making, and we want to improve in that area by training up the youths and them, just as we did, and we in the Federation had a definitely premise to do these things, where that we trying our best to get our charter in a proper line to be able to produce things, not taking things from people and just give them guys a dollar to join the Federation. So when you join with a dollar, you have say. So everybody have say in this. There's not no big man in this. No big man over nobody. We, all of us, have good thoughts and we can relate them to each other. But what we are saying, youths of today, we can talk of something that we want to do. But the people who are doing it and did it and have men to come and testify and say these are the things that happened to them. Why they're mechanic now, why they have a house, why they have their wife, why they went finished college. So we are the people who give the people the breaks because we have the of the Federation. We just don't think it up. We plan it because that the king told us to do what he says, and what he says to treat people with proper attitude. And when you help out people and give them an opportunity to survive, especially in this pandemic, we have to give them some respect. We're not going to have nobody pulling down the people who give respect to young people and people that is coming to this city. And when we do that, we want the people and the people who know about it to treat the people who give the respect in a better form. So we, that is in the population that doing some of the things that's needed now and did some of the things that needed now, I'd like to reach out for me and I reach out for those kind of people who did things already. Not people who trying to think that it should be done. I have evidence and proof that more than 500 men learn trade with me in the city of New York, and to get the start of how to use the tools, the modern tools, in New York. So we used to work, put up sheet rockers to nail them on. Now we got the screw gun. Now we have the staple gun. So we have different ways of doing things that can make productivity in a better level. So we have productivity, we have know-how, and we have opportunity. So we are opening the table for investors to come in and invest in the Federation as black people, not getting everybody putting a dollar together and we have a million people, it's $1 million. Everybody put in a dollar and pay their dues, we will be able to have money to do it. And when I see what the Federation went through with the people that's around them, don't pay their dues on time, don't do the things that do, and not doing the things in them that can bring us together, especially the people in them, especially the young people that don't understand that we do it. We want to do something better than the normal. And we, in this COVID time, we are at the opportunities close down and open up every minute. We want to be able to start in this time to develop a program and programs where that we're showing the opportunity to the others how to train and how to develop things that we need in our community and employ our own and do economic development where that more than one person can come on and do a business, and if the business is good, we give him subsidy and help to push. So I don't want to go too long because maybe I have a lot of people, but if you want to call me on again, I'll be able to. But I had some more things to say, but
definitely. Caller, we thank you so very much for your input for this evening. I will call you back on at a later time as I want to open up the mic for other callers. So thank you so much for talking again about our economic development, our unity, and of course we'll let you in at a later time within our conversation. So for this evening, I thank you so very much. So call the 973-640. Your mic is open. Our conversation for this evening, as you are chatting with Cedi Gomez of Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, telling the young people as well what a wonderful thing it is to be part of this organization, which is a great honor to be under. So call our conversation for this evening as we open the mic of 973-640. We are talking about the young people, the young at heart, that needs some sort of advice, some sort of direction as they cry out to us, asking, where do we go when we need to hear the truth? Where do we go when we need to connect within our ancient spiritual self? We need to have our elders around. So, caller, you would weigh in on our conversation for this evening. We welcome you to the show. Caller 973-640. Your mic is open. If you're there, you're welcome to the show for the Sunday evening.
It is such a pleasure to be a part of this show tonight and to say hello to everyone. Of course, I know this is Dr. Winborn.
Welcome.
So I'm with the young people. I'm trying to get answers too. You know, so I'm calling in to see if I can find somebody to talk to. Listen, you know, hey, I will say this to our young people, and that is when it comes to the Ethiopian World Federation, you are our future, whether you know it or not. Because what you may or may not know now is that we're all Ethiopian and that we need new energy. And so we would like to think that there are people around. I know that I like to try to make myself available to people, young people, and particularly young people, and I can say that now with a clear conscience since I've moved into the granddaddy status, to be able to provide leadership and guidance to those that are seeking it. I really don't know where to tell you to go outside of, you know, find a way to call me, and I try to talk to people. But if you become engaged, what we need a lot of times, young people need a lot of times, is a cause and something to inspire them and to motivate them to be more, to do more, and to want to learn more, to want to grow, and to want to expand, and to want to, you know, achieve a higher consciousness. Fortunately, the Ethiopian World Federation is one of those mechanisms that you can use to achieve these goals. I understand that there are a lot of questions out there. I understand that right now we're living in a very scary time, and we don't fully grasp everything that we see on TV. I get it that when you're getting mixed messages all around you, you don't know what to trust. You don't know who to trust. You don't know what news to trust. You don't know what professionals to trust. And on top of all of that, it looks like the country may be going into another financial crisis and meltdown. We were already experiencing an educational crisis. Our young people will be left to deal with climate change. And so I get it. I get it. I mean, it's hard right now. You don't know. You walk down the street, you don't know whether to put your mask on, take it off. You count and see, well, if I'm 6 feet, am I too close to this person? Am I far enough away from this person? Do I need to have my mask on here? Can I take my mask off there? Listen, I understand it. What we're going to do, though, if we need to do it, Sister Sadie, is create a venue for young people where you can come. And we will have a round table available for you. We can organize it, and you can come and ask whatever questions you would like to ask. Get whatever resources we have available. You may have questions about life. You may have questions about death. You may have questions about spirituality. You may have questions about entrepreneurship. You may have questions about education. You may have questions about just how to get a job. We will make ourselves available for you.
Well, most definitely, I look forward to that bright and beautiful day where that very same conversation can manifest. And
yes,
for the young people, what I see, when we think of who are there, where do they get their guidance from? When your role model are the Kardashians and you strive to be that person and you realize there's emptiness at the end of the day, then you start looking for something with substance. So
right,
we the people within the Federation, we the elders, who, you know, I am now graduated myself to that. They have forced me into those realms. I was 16 just but yesterday, and now I hear I'm a grand something, but I don't know. I would embrace my gray hair as I go along. I'm starting to look real vogue with my gray hair. So, but, you know, that's just for the life.
A funny
the
story, I was talking to my daughter, and I said to her, like, man, you 37 years old. She was like, yeah, I'm getting old, right? I said, I ain't thinking about you.
You're trying to win your part.
I'm thinking about me. Like, how I got a child 37 years old, you know. So, but Yeah, right. I can't tell people I'm 40 anymore. So I get it. You know, we can set up, if the young people want, we can set up a Saturday afternoon. We could do young people's time, young people round table. We get, you know, we will deal with those topics that are pressing to them. And lots of times they have questions, and lots of times I find that you may have questions that you don't want to ask your parents. You have questions that you don't want to ask your friends and stuff you don't want to tell your friends or your family. This could be a platform where you can talk freely and get free, unequivocal, unadulterated advice on, you know, what the truths are as we understand them. And so we would love to do that, and to be there for our young people. If that's what they want, we start this Saturday. As busy as I am, I would make out time for that because I think that that's very, very, very important because, you know, I don't want to sound corny, but I believe the children are our future.
Indeed they are, because when we at one day have to go into those golden years and we look back, who did we pass the baton on to? Because we cannot carry it with us, seeing that
right.
we could barely walk at that time.
Right.
Some of us, you know.
Some of us.
You know, I'm not speaking about me. We'll be jumping along at 90, you know. But talk about for oats and bananas and good stuff. But all the same, for the young people that reached out, we're very thankful to know that, indeed, some of the elders have heard and is willing to extend themselves and even to form group meditation, have a physical place where you all can come and continue to tell your friends about the Ethiopian World Federation, by which is an umbrella where I get you all under as fast as possible. We know we are held up with the COVID and as far we can travel, because this young lady who requested this program, she doesn't even live in New York. You know, I have these children, lots of them, 35 and counting, and they like to know what could be done. So this was a show specially done for Miss Dushira and her young colleagues, who she invited onto the show as well. But I want to bring another young man on as well, Dr. Ben Bourne. I would like
yes.
to bring on Dr. Robinson.
Oh,
and your
you
mic is open. You know, I'm just telling you, because now we are talking something. Dr. Ben Bourne.
You said young man. I thought it was me. I'm confused now.
I would like to bring on another
you got
young man.
Now. You're talking about...
No need for confusion on this show. Only clarity. Would I like to bring on caller 914-530, a young man at heart, surely.
They say what the old saying, once born, twice a child. So you've been as a child according to the scriptures, and you end up as a child in the end when it's all over. So I'm reverting myself back to a young person now. But I agree with everything everybody's saying. I feel that positioning, one thing I saw, you know, insight that I have is that we can position our young people for leadership. We can position them for the ability to control certain factors in the government and our societies. And we have to position our young people and we have to empower them and position them with knowledge and understanding that the future belongs to them. You know, just like Sadie Gomez, one time I was 16, and I looked at Dr. Wimbo and I said, wow, 36 years old is not bad. So,
listen, you laugh.
No. Nobody's doing mathematics tonight. Nobody's doing mathematics.
Listen, you better switch them numbers.
and so, You know, and I look at society today, and one of the major issues that we don't realize is that the right people who did the right things are not in the right position. The wrong people who did the wrong things are in the leadership position, and that's wrong. You know, those who carried on in this society, those who backbone and worked hard and enslaved, I would just go ahead and say it. Those of us that have been enslaved, come from that heritage of enslavement. The Bible says that, you know, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And those who are the humble shall inherit, the humble and the meek shall inherit the earth. So it's time now for those of us who've been enslaved, those of us who've been demarginalized, those who have been abused by imperialism and colonialism. It's time for us to move in leadership position, and we're moving into leadership position, but there, like everything, there's some growth pains, and we're going through some growth pains right now as we move toward leadership position, because I can see internationally, and like Dr. Wimborne said, from the Ethiopian World Federation of Commerce Incorporated and from the international connection that we have and the calls are coming from all over the world when we have our global international call conferences, the people calling from all over the world, and you're getting information of what's going on. And I would tell our young people, use your technology. Use your technology that you have available to you to ascertain information. Because one thing about it, when I was growing up, we didn't have this quick access to information like we have now. You can Google anything, you know, and find out answers very quickly. You know what I'm saying? So use that. And also, I want young people to think internationally, not just your neighborhood, not just your block, but think internationally. Think what, you know, go on YouTube and see what's going on with the young people in Africa, the young people in the Caribbean. What are they doing? You know, what things are they doing? I find some interesting things going on in Trinidad with the young people. I find some interesting things going on in Dominican Republic with the young people, in Jamaica and different places, Haiti. The young people are making moves. They're moving forward, and they're making changes. So young people in America and young people in Europe, you know, they should look at connecting resources, information as well. So I would advise my young people to become a global a citizen and reach out and see, because we're in this together. And one thing I noticed with climate control, young people have gathered all over the world. I don't know if anybody recognizes this, but children in America, children in Europe, children in the Caribbean, children in Africa, children in Asia, and all over the Middle East are involved now with global warming sessions. They're coming together internationally. You know, that's something that is common to them, because they know they're going to be the ones that are going to hurt this environment, and they want to help the environment for themselves and their future children as well. So that's beautiful, because one common thing that will connect our children would educate them on what's going on. The most difficult thing when I was growing up is that we didn't have an international connection. Americans didn't know what was going on in the Caribbean, and Caribbean people didn't know what was going to Africa, and Africans didn't know what was going to Europe. And you know, we didn't have that international global communications going on, and now we have it. You know, that I said one good thing about America is that everybody's here. If you never get a chance because of finances or opportunities to travel to other countries, I would tell people all the time, take advantage of that local person in your neighborhood instead of trying to disenfranchise yourself from them, because they're different, because they're from the Caribbean, they're from Africa, they're from Asia, they're from Europe. Embrace them. Talk to them. Ask them about what's going on in your country, what's happening. You know, become a global citizen. You know, and we can do that in America because we have everybody here. We're the only country that I know of that have local communities that represent other cultures. The food, the music, you know, the clothing, the language. It's all there. Instead of, you know, I tell people, instead of disenfranchising yourself from an opportunity to be a global citizen right in your backyard, you know, take advantage of it. And that's what I love about these Open World Federation, Commerce Incorporated, because we're exposed to each other. We are driven by a need to work together and make changes. And that's where, you know, you open your mind up and you see things from a different perspective. But always embrace young people. I say to my young people, because our young people mimic the old people who sometimes have prejudices against other cultures, other languages coming into America. I would tell my young people, do not fall into that category. Open up your mind. That's one thing I did. I opened up my mind to, and I got friends right here in America and internationally. I can travel several countries and never pay a hotel bill, a restaurant bill, a cab fare, because my friends take care of me when I go to those countries, and that's a wonderful thing to be received like that. So I just tell my young people, you know, become international, learn from other people, work together, become universal, work together, open your mind up, and also become involved in international concerns, the environment, pollution, poverty with children across the world. You know, but our young people are doing that. You see our young people in the Caribbean, our young people in Africa, in Asia, and Europe. They're coming together because they see a need for social change. When the Black Lives Matter movement came up, our young people step up to the call from all over the globe, and that's what we need, international, because these leaders, G7s and all these people, all these the so-called powerful countries, the wealthiest countries in the world, they are not driven by the social conditioning. They're driven by popularity, the ability to be voted in for the job, and the ability to have followers. So in that case, we're not going to follow those people unless they follow the right criteria. So I'm excited. I would suggest our young people do, like Dr. Winborn said, have these open forums of the elders and the young people, have these open communications, start listening to the young people. We as elders, we have to start to listen to our young people, and like Sister Sadie said, give them guidance, give them wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of what we can offer, you know, from our perspective as well. And as well, listen to them. You know, I have children and great-great-grandchildren, so I listen, you know, and I'm learning as I go on. And one of my youngest son, who gave me the biggest headaches out of all my kids, I'm starting to listen to him. Not rejecting so much of his behavior, but I'm starting to listen to what he's saying, and by having open communication like that, I'm starting to understand him, and I'm starting to be able to give him a little more direction by listening, because before he was right. I wasn't listening because I didn't feel the need to listen because I thought it was nonsense. But even in his nonsense and his mishigas and chaos, I'm listening, and I'm opening up, and he's opening up, and we're having a good communication, and things are being resolved within our relationship as well. So, you know, that's my contribution, you know, to this.
A wonderful contribution. Wonderful contribution, Dr. Ron Robinson, as you talk about our young people and talking about the fact that in your time there was not that wide range as you have the World Wide Web. You know, there's a different, some people barely had a telephone, but all the same, there was communication. What is happening now, however, they have the world of communication. Instagram, they have Facebook, and all these various forms of communication. But yet, it's a different time they're living in right now. What they are faced with, mainly from listening to them, they are faced with spiritual confusion. As I said to you, strange things are happening to the young people. Let's just examine the Travis Scott concert at Astroland that took place last week or the week before, however. That was a concert where young people actually perished. They were strangulated or squeezed to death, and the words were, "I can't breathe." But mainly for, as we visit this concert again, it was the young people, because the old people was not there, who could barely walk, because who knows, you would be trampled upon 100 times over. And the young people were there, and they were killed by their very own in a state of confusion. And a lot of questions have been asked coming from this very concert. For example, one guy who came on stage and asked that a concert be stopped because his friend that came with him to the concert was trampled upon, a young person. But he gave a report also, and if we should look further into it, he said he saw people turning black and blue. There was something in the air that people was unable to breathe. Now, this was quite demonic, and if, you know, it's not an evening for this sort of show, but if we should examine it for a short while, in the presence of demons, atmosphere changes. And this is some facts that for those of us who knows about these things can teach our young people as well. And this happened in crowds where they would have ceremonies because this is the young people, this is what they are living right now. They have their idols in Hollywood. What do they do? You know, the Illuminati, they're after the young people, the ones who are, you know, they have all the energy in the world, but yet their brain cell is scattered, and those are the ones who are easily manipulated by the forces that be. Who, you know, we would have already been there, done that, tried that, and been tried and tested 7 times over, and we know where we stand as we, the elders now, and I gracefully is entering into that hall. So I thank the Almighty as well. But the young people are crying out to us. We are seeing the very need when we look at the state of confusion that they're in, when we examine the life that they're having. Yes, they have social media, but what does social media offer? I mean, my God, I'm not so old, but I had my phone on TikTok, and I scrolling down innocently, and I saw so much porn, I had to jump up. I was like, what is going on? What time of day is it? 11 o'clock in the day? I was like, no, I'm coming off of TikTok. I'm off. I don't even TikTok anymore. I was so disgusted. And I'm saying, but what is there of substance that they have to offer, even though they have all these avenues by which information is flowing? But it's a set of garbage that's coming through the tunnel. There's Facebook, Instagram, and, oh, let's just not even talk about Facebook, which, you know, another night we'll do the show. But Facebook has changed its name. Is anybody here to verify, to say a yes? Facebook is now going to change its name to Metaverse or something like that. Is anyone, well, the mics are not open, but Dr. Winwood or Dr. Robinson, are you all aware of that?
Yeah, they're saying Meta, M-E-T-A. I know,
okay.
I know. Like you said, it was before they said Metaverse, but now they're pushing out Meta. Maybe Dr. Winborn might know a little more clarity on it, but I kept seeing Meta, M-E-T-A.
Right. And
I was not aware that they was changing the word, but I do know the word Meta is Greek for beyond.
Okay.
So,
excellent. And what we will do next time is to revisit that word in the reverse form, and we would structure it and we would see where they are coming from. It is in this here time, the very wicked pharaohs of this earth is here to corrupt, and more so if it wasn't for the very elect, the whole thing would have gone in to a boom already. But at this time, it's just being preserved for the very elect. Mark Zuckerberg and the wicked pharaohs of this earth, it has a very, very wicked plan for what this is going to be. But all the same, we would have this conversation another night, because there's a reason why it has been changed. And there's billions of people that is on this social media and this Facebook feed and everything else. But it's not a night for this sort of conversation for Facebook. But we are doing the young people, and again, well, Facebook is merely their platform, but we are seeing the young people crying out to us, and I am observing on a very spiritual level what is happening, because the next time there will be a war, it will be the spiritual war that we would visit, as in the book of Revelation, and this is what the young people will have to face. Some of our not so young and the young in heart, if we are still around, bless our hearts, if the Almighty allow us that time to be around, we too will be here to face first trials and tribulation and to understand and know what it is. But it is indeed the time of revelation. It is indeed a time of judgment. It is indeed that time whereby many of us who are woken to some truths. Some of us, it's better we are still asleep, because the awakening to know that the nightmare that you are having is in fact real. So it's a real Friday the 13th, Freddy Krueger type of moment, but it's here, it's happening, it's real. The fallen ones are here and among us. This is real. And this is also true. If it wasn't so, I would not have told you. I'm not here to do the boogeyman story, but for us to observe the real of life, what is going on. And what we see is happening is the connections that are made as we observe again that demonic concert that just took place. That guy is attached to the Kardashians in a very strange way. And, of course, we know demons have entered into that concert. People report us seeing strange things. It's, again, the young people making their videos and seeing some strange things that they have seen. And what had happened, fear took over at that concert and people started running and it was total chaos, hence a stampede and the death of people. If there was in any way secure as to what they were doing, people have conducted themselves without such chaos and lives could have been saved. But fear is a very, very great entity, and the Bible tells us as well, man's heart will faint for what they will see that is coming upon this earth. Some of us are able to see certain things and observe the change of time. But let us not be wary. The time is coming, and we would see some things that we wish that we ourselves would not be upon the earth. But I'm here to share with everyone. I would open the mic as I see our queue is busy for 646-387. If you wish to partake in our conversation for this evening, the young people are asking, who can they turn to? Who could they talk to when certain things affect them? They are looking for a place to be. They are looking to run into some bosom. They are looking for someone just to put their arms around them and say everything is going to be all right. We, the older ones, the elders who have passed through, know, understand, and can analyze, we are here to teach. So call us 646-387 if you wish to weigh in on this conversation. For this evening, your mic is open. Caller, your mic is open. We're not hearing you. If you just wish to say a good evening to us, or if you want to weigh in conversation, this is Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Local 26, coming to you live on this Sunday evening to share in our wonderful conversation to incorporate the young people into our fold, bring them in. They're asking, they're struggling, and they would like to be heard. So caller, your mic is open. If you wish to be in our conversation, 646-387, your mic is open.
Good evening, everyone. I've been hearing the youth are very important, and we need to do more than we are doing in order to give them proper direction to be able to grow up to be responsible and successful citizens. At the Federation, I think there is plans underway to be able to set up the centers or set up something for them. I think we should do that. It's part of the program that I'm thinking about doing, and already I have some things that I'll be sending to the International Council about what we need to do for the young generation to give them proper direction, especially with the massive misinformation that is out there now with this COVID, in which they are forcing people to get inoculation, which is ridiculous. I mean, you have doctors who are treating these COVID patients. They've been treating the COVID patients successfully for 2 years. After 2 years, then you are saying you want to help them by giving them inoculation. These things are... And such things is confusing to the young kids that what is going on here. If somebody has been teaching, I mean, at the hospital, treating, bombarding, every day they have been bombarded with COVID, and they've dealt with it 2 years, and then you come in with an agenda saying you want to help them by giving them inoculation after 2 years. So So things like that, very intelligent young people, they get confused. So we as elders, we need to do more to see how we should prevent these things from happening, how we have to give the kids, how we have to orientate them, to enlighten them, whatever information we have as elders and seniors, we shouldn't just keep it to ourselves. So I believe in the nearest future, the Federation will do more, and I hope we will do more. So the floor is open. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk.
Okay, thank you so very much, Paula, for your input within this evening's conversation. I have to remember the young people, and as one caller has remarked, they are indeed the future. They are our future, and as we go along, we need to pass information. Passing information that are really some truths. Some things are not written in books. Some information was just orally, and it was done that way as in our ancient time. I would like to open the mic, however, for another caller to be part of our conversation for the evening. Caller 347-478. Your mic is open if you'd like to win our conversation for this evening as we discuss the youths and their need to be incorporated into the fold.
Yes, greetings, say this is Evangelist Cynthia Clark,
Caller, talk just a little more, please, in your phone so we can hear you a little more clear. Just a little more clearly, if you can bring your phone, just a little clearly or raise your volume. I don't know how the fancy phones work. Go ahead, caller.
Can you just give me a...
it's much better now, of course.
Yeah, because these things... Hold on 1 second. Right now, you're saying that, and I'm having a little problem. 1 minute. Okay. Can you hear me a little bit better?
Yes. You're coming through loud and clear.
Okay. My greeting to you. There's so much that has happened, okay? And we can't blame it all on ourselves because we have a lot of young people that's raising these young children. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. The second thing is that we've had so much going on with negativity, starting with Donald Trump, who should never have been president. And him becoming president has done a lot of damage to this country. His sister wrote a book. His niece wrote a book. Everybody wrote a book about him because this is the first time in the history of America that we've ever had anything that happened like it happened on January 3rd. I mean, with this coup. So that's another dangerous thing. The other dangerous thing is that...
You're fading away a little bit again, caller. Bring yourself a little closer to your phone. You're just about fading again.
Okay, hold on. Let me hold one
minute. I'm hearing you good now when you tell me, hold on.
How about now?
Great. You can go.
It's better? Okay.
Much better.
All right. So the Obama administration, we knew about COVID-19 and all these other things. These things have always existed. As I told Reverend Robertson, the virus has always existed. If it wasn't for us being immunized from measles and so on, a lot of our children would have died. So this whole thing about it's a conspiracy from the government that wants to give you these shots is a bunch of baloney. Okay, first of all, hope to God that we're in a country where we could get the vaccine for free. Because some places don't even have the vaccine, and it's India, and different places, which is just not being aided by the United States. So let's thank God that we're able to get this vaccine to protect our children, because these vaccines started a long time ago. If you came from another country, you had to get vaccinated, and the measles was mumps, and then you had all these different things. It's a part of the world, you know. The earth always had viruses. In the Bible with Jesus Christ, you had some people in Israel that they would put them all by themselves. They had leprosy, the leprosy virus. So anyway, getting away from that, what's going on now here in the United States of America is a revolution like never before. Okay. In fact, there were some rappers back in the day, and they said the revolution will not be televised. And it's been going on. This young white boy comes out there shooting people all over the place. The other ignorance that's there is that we have to come together and realize that we're becoming the problem for our children, because what's happening is that we're not showing the leadership that we should. And by the way, Pastor, you know, I was in the hospital, okay? And I suffered, and the devil tried to stop me from trying to do what I had to do. But through it all, it's the greatest he that's in me than he who is in the world. And then I got into the Word of God. You have to get into the Word of God today, because the adversary is working, as you say, as a roaring lion. And a lot of people are dying, and people are taking it for granted, like, oh, it's all... No, no. It's happening because of the times that we're living in right now. So all I'm going to say to you is that what I'm doing right now here in the Bronx is I'm getting these young people to start doing the positive things. Stop going out there attacking older people, sticking them up, because this has been going on for a while. And Eric Adams, I praise God Almighty, and so does Cheryl and all the people that backed me to help Eric Adams become the mayor of New York City. People say, oh, it ain't going to happen. Yes, it happened. Praise God. And also Vanessa Gibson, who is the borough president of the Bronx, okay? I worked with her before Reverend Robinson knows that. As a member also of the Ethiopian Foundation, I'm going to be doing something in the next couple of months, very big, and the Ethiopian Foundation will be a big part of it here in the Bronx, where we're going to be training young people. We're going to be training them to respect one another. We're going to respect them, to respect the law, and we're going to come up with a new change, because this is serious. And everybody that's out there, I took the vaccine. I took the Johnson & Johnson. I took up my backup shot, and I took up the vaccine. Do not take this for granted. It's real. Thank you. Thank you, Sadie.
We thank you so very much.
If you could have heard me, you know, because I'm still going on, you know, with my heart, you know. So I might not sound 100% perfect, but God got my back. Amen?
Thank you so very much, Paula, for sharing and for within this evening conversation. So the mics are open to the various callers who wish to continue. Call 347-404. If there's anything you would like to say, your mic is open again.
Oh, you said 404?
Yes, 347-404. Your mic is open as you're listening, and you can continue to join in as, you know, you continue to hear new things. We may want to say something else as well for the evening.
All right. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. I'll be hearing you.
All right. All right. So I appreciate everybody here, every single soul, every, you know. I tend to say these words. I don't like to knock anything. I don't like to knock hustle. I don't like to knock this and that, the third. I don't want to be the enemy. With that said, for me, I'll never take the vaccine. It's in my blood. Something in my blood. Forget my gut. My gut is always right, right? For some reason. I'll never take the vaccine. Why? My body's made for perfection. My body is made to perfection.
It's Oprah. I want to get Oprah. I already got that recorded.
Okay.
So, I mean, basically me personally, I don't know about everybody else, but my body's made perfectly to the T, to precision, I can't describe it, but I don't think I'll ever take that vaccine. I wish I didn't. I hadn't take the measles shot and all them shots and all, you know. Listen, we always focus on the problem and that, what's the saying? We always focus on the problem and not the solution, you know. Here's my solution for myself and, I guess, my family going forward. And if anybody want to listen to it, they listen to it and come with the same whole nine, right? It's like this. I've learned a lot, especially in the COVID. That's one thing I could say I've learned. For example, it's my consumption. It's what I consume. It's all the foods, all the, you know, that's what I've learned. That causes everything. That's why we go to vaccines, and we think the vaccine is the answer. Here's the answer. In my opinion, again, my humblest opinion, I'm not knocking anything, right? My opinion is this. If we should consume certain foods, right? For example, I'm practicing herbal foods, for example, organic, right? Where we can alleviate the parasites and pestilence on the foods and all this wonderful kind of stuff. This way I won't get leaky gut, because leaky gut, that's what causes chaos to the body. Diabetes, cancer, this, that, the third, right? If we could alleviate getting all this kind of stuff and practice eating right, then when the so-called corona, COVID, comes about, it doesn't wipe out us, and especially our ancestors that need to teach us the real substance. That's the answer. That's number one.
Truly, caller, I must say before you continue, I would like to agree with you, truly, because there are ones that have taken the vaccine and have still been stricken down with the disease and even die. It's all about your immune system and the foods that you eat and protecting your body against the virus. There is something for real out there killing people. But the solution, truly, caller, I would agree with you. So you may continue.
Thank you so much. And it goes with a lot to say. I'm just trying to do a nutshell. The second thing is, I really, 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 I've said this like about before it got to 7:30, the first time I was on, when I never knew what was going on. Well, we're talking about giving, you know, putting on the young folks, half of them listen, half don't listen. When it comes, and I said, it really started from parenting. I think that's the answer. Yeah, you've heard of Stranger Danger, right? If you're not listening to your parents, you're going to listen to the guy around the street corner. And that's what's happening. Who knows what the guy around the street corner is talking about? Who knows? The first person you should turn to, your parents. Nothing against females, nothing against the female gender. My wife's right here hitting me in the head. However, every single household needs a father, a dad. It's critical. It's crucial. If you don't have that, I'm sorry. And that's the problem. That's one of the biggest problems in the world and in America. Here's what I think. I think we should, the Ethiopian World Organization, Federal Organization, we should try to figure out parenthood, like the government got. As soon as a birth certificate hits, that's when we should reach out to those parents right away to have like a program just for them on guiding them with their newborn. Predominantly, predominantly, sorry to say this, maybe it shouldn't, black and brown family. It might take 20 years, it might take 30, but that's the answer. That's where it starts, the parents. You could have all kinds of programs. I think it starts with the parents. How to raise your baby straight out of birth, what to feed them, how to grow them. That's where we should start. And I don't even want to talk about spiritualities and stuff like that today, next time. I love this program. Thank you.
Yes, caller?
Can you hear me?
Yes. I said I would appreciate a few words from you on the subject of spirituality. We can appreciate that.
It's in your blood. Don't make them fool you. Bob Marley told you.
So what do you want to share with the young people? There's so much that confusion that they would go through because there's so much things that they are seeing, and the interpretation of the thing is quite different from what they are seeing or perceive it to be. So definitely they will need guidance within that unseen world, because strange things are indeed happening to our young people. They are, it's remarkable of the world that they are now living in the confusion and the things that they don't understand, having have so much distractions to draw them away from the one truth that only one, he that sits upon the throne, that you have to gravitate to towards that truth, you know, the Almighty, yeah. Unless you start to walk within that precept, there would be confusion in your life. And with no one to direct you, that's double the trouble. So for tonight, this is Sadie Gomez of Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, asking and begging us to make a way for our young people. They appeal into us, and I'm here begging of our elders that we consider them, and right away we make a way that they too can be incorporated into the fold and bring their friends, because they are indeed the future. So, Dr. Robinson, would you like to weigh in or open the mic of Dr. Winborn if they have to weigh in on our conversation as we continue this evening? Dr. Robinson, my host, my co-host is there.
Until he gets here, can I say something?
Oh, yes, of course.
That if you look, I believe it's the continent of Africa is dissected. I've learned, I would like to say it's over 1,500 different languages alone in the continent of Africa. But I believe it's over 2,500. But let's put it at 1,500 so I don't get in trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you think about that. Over 1,500 different languages. How does that sound in the continent of Africa? Remarkable.
Well, yes, but for one thing, we know with limited communication, when a village next door doesn't speak the same language as the village 3 miles down the road, with limited communication, which was indeed a plan to scatter and divide Africa in whichever way possible.
Precisely.
But as we are here, awakening, and some of us is now have just come out of our slumber, still wearing our pajamas. But we thank God for this very here time that we are not our great-grandmothers happening right now. We are indeed the children that has awoken, has examined things, have asked questions, and even our heartbeat as we see how our great grandmothers were fooled, our grandparents were fooled upon this here time when, you know, they believed that in certain things that would never come to pass. And for 400 years of pain and sorrow and not even having your own religion, and you were, many things were pushing your face, and it was not truth. And the truth here is coming out here and now, because for many years we knew our great-great-grandparents, they had the white Jesus on the wall, and no one could talk about it. No one could say anything, and that was the Lord and Savior. And it's not to be racial or anything, but some truth had to come about where someone had to say, here, what? This is not true. The Bible is our story. What are you all doing? Solomon said, I am black and I am comely. This is the son of David. It's the lioness who sits upon the throne. And some truths had to come out even there for a lot of people. And slowly it's coming out, painful for those, and would be even more painful for those who wrote the wrong in the first place. So here we are, a great day of reckoning, of understanding. Let's not be bitter, but we can use these very truths where we can come together in unity and love and appreciate each other, for we are such a great people, but has been divided and purposely done, as no other nation has had to go through such a division in times gone by. So you knew there was something very important about us, why they found it necessary to do so. So this is what has happened along the way. So your mics are open and you can weigh in on our conversation. So Dr. Robinson, are you there, my co-host for the evening? Or did you disappear on me? But you're here with Sadie Gomez of Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. We are coming to you live this Sunday evening. We are talking about the young people that are asking questions that some of them are unable to answer themselves. Their friends are kind of tell them. There are some strange things that are happening. They would certainly like answers. And as we continue our program, we would like very much so to help them through with answers of letting them know of a great place they can be called Ethiopian World Federation. We embrace our young people. We would like to have programs where they can come by and feel that great part and that love of the Federation, that embracement of knowing that there's something laid out for them, for us, we the black and brown people of the world. So at this time, I would open the mic of 973-640. Would you like to weigh in on our conversation, Dr. Winborn?
Oh, you know, I'm just always tonight and as a conscientious observer and listening in to all of the wonderful things everyone have to say. I started to come in a second ago. I heard the brethren talk about the mayor, Adams, and I hope that he's able to do the things that he said he was going to do. Well, there are a couple of things that, you know, I've been hearing that kind of concern me and should be concerning to young people also, because from what I hear, they're going back to this stop and frisk stuff under this new administration with this new mayor, and there's already been protests and statements and stuff issued from BLM concerning what the conditions would be like should they go back to that. So I, you know, in a lot of ways, again, I say that I'm touched with the feelings of our young people's infirmities with everything that they see going on. I know that if I was a young black male, constantly living with a target on my back. Every time I left my home, I knew that there's a possibility that they might not be coming back. Because there is a target on my back, to hear that they're going to be going back to old policies that put thousands of black men in jail,
wrongfully
separated these families. You understand what I'm saying? Separated families,
oh, yes.
Destroyed
it's
families.
It's exactly going back 100 years.
Over nothing, and then want to make jokes about fathers not being in the homes and stuff like that, which because you lock them up and you got them in jail.
Yeah.
Over these crazy stupid policies.
But to go back there,
to hear that Eric Adams want to take us back to that time makes me say,
Well, it makes you shiver at least.
I knew I did the right thing by casting my vote the way that I cast it, because I knew that was coming. You know, all of this stuff people were talking about, the police reform, and he an ex-cop, and he's going to do that. I was like,
Not looking good.
Not that. The very first thing, the moment you ain't even in office good yet, and you talking about bringing back stuff that destroyed so many families, destroyed so many homes, have put so many black babies at risk of having had to now juggle on their own without the leadership of their father, I should be happy now?
Well,
no.
That's not even a good taste in people's mouth at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. So I feel for our young people, our young men and women. You know, when my daughter was pregnant, you know, I pray God, please, I said very clearly I want a granddaughter. And he's like, why are you so emphatic about a granddaughter? I said, because it's hard for a black male these days. It was hard when I was coming up. It's even worse now. You know, the racism has gotten to the point where it's okay to say you guilty because you black. I feel threatened. Because you black, your skin color is the weapon. So there's no such thing as an unarmed black man when the police keep running, encounter with him. Because who he is makes him armed, makes him dangerous.
That would be unarmed and dangerous.
As you mentioned,
what you're saying, Dr. Wimmy, just cutting in your conversation for a while, as you're talking, a picture comes to my mind of this young white man who killed two people, and he's on stage breaking down some crocodile tears.
Yeah, we're supposed to feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for him. If it wasn't young people on this line, I'd tell you exactly what I feel about him. All right? I'm not moved at all. You know, and it's so sad. And listen, he will never, in my mind, he's not going to be convicted. Because the whole thing is rigged. The whole thing is a setup. You got the judge telling the prosecutor he can't call the victims. He can't call the dead people victims. That's prejudicing the jury. Are you crazy? I'm like, what kind of nonsense is this? The judge phone ring in the middle of the trial. And what is his ringtone? His ringtone is Donald Trump's campaign music. Really? Well, you're unbiased.
Well,
this little white boy did? And you know another thing? The reason why they're not mad, because this little white boy did what they all dream about. just running out there and getting a rifle and an AR-15 and kill whoever you want to kill. Shoot whoever you want to shoot.
Yeah, that's freedom.
So they not, they think you're a hero.
So they oh, man.
They have no inkling on convicting him. The judge then gave them a lesser charge to consider. What?
We see how things are playing out. And he wants you to feel sorry for him.
Yeah, he crying. All of that, bouncing
down.
Back and forth. He can't talk.
Yeah. He was shaking and totally uncontrollable. It was overwhelming.
Listen, where was all of that fear when you was running around with the gun shooting at people?
No, and then think about it. He was running around with his hat turned backwards. You know, he was a real bad boy.
Yeah, he's a big man. You know why?
Yeah,
so
hat
he
turned
the
backwards.
Support of the police.
Uh-huh.
He had the support of the police. He stopped and talked to the police with a loaded gun while people telling the police, while he talking to the police, he just shot three people. They ain't pay that no mind. They giving they might as well have been giving them high fives. We better wake up people and realize what time that we're living in.
Exactly. He was part of the whole thing. So we see what's happening, and that's within the young people. So now we're going to see if this young man is going to walk yes or no. What is going to happen?
As they convict that boy of murder, I will be so surprised. They are letting you know that murder is only for black people. If you're a white boy, you can go around, you can shoot who you want. You know, I never understand how you take a case, take Trayvon Martin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a man that's armed, confront the unarmed man, but when the unarmed man start getting the best of him, he's allowed to kill the man who he initiated the confrontation with, because now, since he initiated the confrontation, he fears for his life. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And that's just playing right out in front of our faces, and everybody's...
In front of your face.
I say what? What can
so
we expect?
We got some coming up to do, and we got some praying to do, because now on top of everything else, on top of COVID, on top of the recession, on top of people losing their job, on top of everything else that's going on, now you got a black man, he wanna start stopping and frisking people again.
That's unthinkable, because we came a long way from that. And who wants to return to that when you said how painful it has been in breaking families?
Yes.
That's just the doorway to destruction.
Rigging the system, you know what I mean? And making them cop pleas and pay money and all that kind of nonsense. The whole thing is rigged.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers don't pan out, because when they look at the numbers, they found more white and Caucasian people running around with guns than they did with blacks. But yet and still, you got five times the amount of black men locked up. Why is that? That's because, let me tell you something, slavery was never over.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It was a trick. The Constitution tell you, the 13th Amendment tell you, slavery was over except for in cases of incarceration. All right? And so when you're incarcerated, when you get locked up, you become a slave again. You look at the jumpsuits they got on. What do they say? Property of the state. State property. They got a movie out called State Property. Why? You chattel again.
Yep.
So they write laws, they change the laws to lock you up, to make sure you understand you chattel. You belong to somebody. You belong to an institution.
Who said you were free?
Right. And so now this is the first thing this the new black man going to do?
What's that?
Enforcing mandates, causing people to... A puppet, but we knew he was a puppet. Where's Sergio at? Where's Reverend Clark at? Get back on his radio and defend him.
Wow.
All right. You don't want to fight with me. But it is disgusting to see as much progress as we make, then we find ourselves going backwards. It's just disturbing, and we got to do better as a people. We just do.
We got to do a little better than that.
And what that says is we ought to all know, we ought to all wake up. We cannot trust these politicians. You can't trust nobody but yourself and the Ethiopian
Oil Federation. And
the
Ethiopian Oil Federation. Of course.
Because other than that, you on your own.
That's why we got to spread the good word and let people know of the wonderful umbrella that the Ethiopian World Federation incorporated allows you. You can come to the Federation. You can be a member of the Federation once you join in. You'll be a member for life. You can hold an executive position within your local whereby you can be functioning, doing wonderful things for your local, bringing the black and brown people of the world together. You can also aspire for a position within the executive council body. All these positions are given whereby you are nominated and you are voted in or out as elections are free and fair. We see the need to have various people within certain positions with where the locals are concerned. So we are interested in our membership drive, which is something forever. We were registered members already. We are the ambassadors of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated. We go out there to tell members and to bring new people into the fold and to revamp the spirits of the old members who are some of people are wondering if the Ethiopian World Federation is still around. Yes, we are alive and well and kicking. You have heard the voice of the President, Dr. James Winborn, earlier on, and our local is also alive and kicking. Our local president was also online. Our first director was online. Sometimes the chaplain is online. Depending on the evening, we have various members, brothers and sisters, who came in tonight to listen on. Even as far as Sarah Cruz and further on, we also like to thank our young people for giving us this question, whereby they're asking us what can they do when they need to have questions answered, who can they go to. They are helping us to open our eyes to know that they're interested in us still in past information. We are not antiquated. We are still around. We have the real deal because we know things that we have seen for real. Some things the books are tainted, but the young people are reaching out to us. They want to talk. We, on the other hand, have heard the voices of the young people. We are thanking you that you have put such on us to open the doors to let you in. And yes, we want to talk too. We want to find out what's going on with you. We want to know what we can do to help. We want to know what you are going to do to help us and together help build a nation as we go into that spirit of ascension. We want to forget what has gone past because all things have indeed passed away. It's a new day dawning. The world has changed. Things have changed. And we want to change with it. We at the Ethiopian World Federation wants success for our black and brown people. We know slavery is over, and most likely the emancipation of slavery of the mind, not just of the body, but of the mind. Hereby, we are standing sure as to who we are, being proud as the black and brown people of the world as we stand, knowing we were once kings and queens of the earth, and to reclaim such greatness. As we stand with among each other, let us have respect, let us have love. This is the fundamentals of our lasting, true brotherhood and sisterhood. First and foremost, let us understand that we are not going anywhere in chaos and confusion, but we move forward in decency and in order as the legacy that was left for us. Let us be proud, kings and queens of this earth, moving forward to teach, to love, to grow, to bend every one of us burdens. It is not the easiest thing to do. Let us have in our heart also a heart of forgiveness, because no one can carry a heavy heart. That burden is too heavy. Unless your heart is weighing lighter than a feather, you cannot get through or go through the hall of aunties or, as I've said, right. So we know, for those who understand that Egyptian language. But for this evening, we have a few minutes left. We have not gone into commercial as we head into the top of our hour. This is Sadie Gomez thanking each and everyone who came out this evening. Ask you to join me again for a wonderful Sunday evening next weekend. The time is always at 7 p.m. to 9. We enjoy each and every one of us as we were able to share something and partake in the conversation. Dr. Robinson, my co-host this evening, I thank you so very much. As I jokingly said to you, Dr. G has been going to be too hard to fill. But you take us into our evening as we say goodnight to everyone, and God bless.
Within your heart. Hold it close.
Hold it close.
Don't ever
depart.
If there's cold
in the night.
But you'll be alright.
You'll be alright.
Gonna get better.
better.